So here's the thing. Your day, your world, your environment, it actually presents so many opportunities for you to move your body, take your walks, and work towards feeling the best you can. But with our schedules still disrupted, our lives still disrupted, we need to work a little bit harder to find those moments. On today's Weekly Walk podcast, Eric and I share so many tips for how to build more movement, more walking, more vitality into your days, no matter where you're living, where you're walking, what you're doing. So one way is to lace up your sneakers and let's get going. Welcome to the Weekly Walk podcast, the perfect podcast to take with you on a 30-minute walk. I'm Joy Shulman, the pack leader here at 99 Walks, and each week we explore different tools and tactics that you can use to create the life you want, because you really can change your life in 99 walks. Hey, Eric.
Hey, Joyce.
What's your agenda for the day?
Oh my God, I have busy day. I'm going to work. I have emails to catch up on, jetty pole things to work on. I have to drive an hour away. I have so much stuff. What about you? What do you have going on today?
Also a super busy day. I looked at my calendar and I have calls scheduled pretty much every hour until five. Well, until four, because I have two other things on my calendar today. At 10 o'clock, I'm walking with our old friend, Emily. I'm really looking forward to catching up with her. And then at 4 o'clock, I'm scheduled to hit the gym for a little bit and do some back therapy.
That's awesome. The way to schedule that stuff in there.
And that is part of the message of the day, which is the question on the table is, how do you work your movement and walking and exercise and well-being into these overstuffed days, especially when for many of us, our routine has kind of gotten thrown up in the air?
I was thinking about that the other day because for me, going to the gym was always a thing. It was getting in the car, and I guess the closest gym was just about 10 minutes away. But there and back, that's 20 minutes and parking and getting in. So it was just a half an hour of transit.
A plus for you.
The kibitzing?
The 20 minutes of yakking with your bros.
Yes. Well, there was always the post-workout hangout time.
Which, and listen, we all need that kind of social time. So that, I miss that time, though I never hung as long as you hung with the bros.
But
your gym routine was a solid 2 hours. You know that.
Yes, but I haven't done that for 2 years. It's just been crazy. And we've had to, what's the Army saying? Adapt, improvise, overcome.
Is that really the Army saying, or did you totally make that up?
No, I think there's some unit of the military that does use that.
Adapt.
Improvise, overcome, something like that.
Improvise does not sound like an army thing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's improvise, but it's adapt something, overcome. Yeah.
Got it.
So since the pandemic started, we've built out a little gym for ourselves in the back of our office warehouse space.
And when you say warehouse space, doesn't it make it sound big and impressive? Mm-hmm. It's like you could practically touch both walls if you stood in the middle and stretched your arms out.
But the ceiling is really tall.
It is really tall. That definitely helps.
So, yeah, I actually measured it the other day. It's about 14 feet across.
All right. So longer, even you with your freakishly long arms, you can't reach both walls.
I cannot reach both arms.
So The topic of conversation today is how we build that kind of routine and movement into our days. And we have some fairly concrete ideas and suggestions. So I'll start with one of mine, which I just kind of alluded to, which is these things go on my calendar.
So walks, workouts, etc. Everything goes on your calendar pretty much.
Yeah, maybe too much. Sometimes I put tasks on my calendar, so that's kind of a bummer because then it looks really full and overwhelms me. But I do have a tendency to overstuff my days. I suppose that is a conversation for another podcast. But walks, workouts, recreation, well-being, those things go on my calendar.
Do you have ice skating on your calendar for tomorrow?
Well, I had ice skating on my calendar for tomorrow, but it is a 90% chance of rain all day. So I moved ice skating to Friday, but that might not happen either. So I'm pretty disappointed about that.
Gotcha. Well, can't do anything about the weather.
Cannot. And there's no place around here to ice skate indoors. So we just wait for the weather to improve.
What about Southampton? That's covered.
I don't like it there.
No. Okay.
Yeah, nope.
Nope. Okay. Nope. So putting this stuff on your calendar.
That's one. The second thing that I do that I have a personal policy around is if any of my friends invite me for a walk, unless I have a true conflict that can't be adjusted, I say yes. And sometimes that even means I have to move something.
And people know that about you, so they ask you for walks.
They do. Isn't that great? And I ask them, just to be really clear. So I will schedule walks with people. Oh, I have a couple of people I'm actually overdue to walk with.
You do schedule a lot of walks, but it's interesting that people will reach out to you and they know that you'll probably be available.
I will do my best anyway. So that's two things that I do to try to be sure that I keep movement in my days.
Yeah, and one of them, and this is, we'll just touch on this because it's an oldie but a goodie, is dress for movement. Especially these days, if you are fortunate enough or fortunate or unfortunate, depending how you look at it, to be spending more time at home, you can dress that way. I mean, there have been times when I've put on like a nicer shirt for a Zoom chat, but I'm just wearing my sweatpants and sneakers behind, you know, under the table, and then I can go and be that much more ready for my workout.
It's definitely a blessing and a curse for sure, because putting on jeans feels like dressing up. I mean, it's just madness. But yeah, the truth is I get up every day and I put on clothes suitable to walk in.
So I didn't even tell you this. So the other day, I stopped at our old coffee shop, the Hampton Coffee Company, which used to be, or we used to live right down the street from it. And I went in and I grabbed a cup of coffee. And as I usually do, I was dressed in my jogger sweatpants, sneakers, and a hoodie, right? And I come out and there is this old woman sitting on a bench.
What do you mean by old woman? Have you not read the book that the DEI committee sent us to read?
No, she looked like something from Russia. And she was old school. There was a traditional woman. And she looked at me and she sort of like muttered half to me and half to herself. And like, I didn't even catch it because I was running to get back to my car. But she was like, "What's wrong with you? You're a grown man. Dress like one. Real shoes. Pants. What are you dressing like a teenager for?"
What? Did that actually happen?
Actually happened. And it was like, oh, that's so hilarious. Fast and half to me and half under her breath. And I got in the car and I'm like,
"You're a grown man. Dress like it."
And I'm turning on the key and I'm like, "Did that actually happen?"
You didn't turn around and say, "Lady, Do you know that I am a CrossFit Games athlete?
I should have been wearing one of my CrossFit Games, like, pieces of apparel.
And then she would have
Then
known.
she would have known the difference. Yes. So, you know, it just made me laugh. I just thought it was funny. And, you know, in some regards, she's right. And there are sometimes when I think, like, maybe I should, like, just dress up more, during the course of my day. But I'm also lifting things and moving things and, you know, running bracelets from one part of the office to, I'm more comfortable this way.
I hear you. And that's why I say it's a little bit of a blessing and a curse, because there is something that makes you feel good when you're dressed, when you're, and I don't know if this is same for men and women, but for sure. And I know there are some members of our team who, Jamie in particular, the director of community, and Jamie works out in the morning and then she dresses like a grown up. Okay, sometimes she wears funny sweaters, but generally she dresses like a grown up. And she'll show up at meetings and most of the team is in our hoodies, you know, dressed for our walks, dressed for our dogs, dressed for whatever. But she needs that to jumpstart her day. And I totally get that. There is definitely a downside, and I've thought about exactly this. There's a downside to dressing for your walks or your workout all day long. It doesn't make me feel kind of as on top of my game or as I don't know what the word is, but the balance of that is I love to also be an opportunistic walker, meaning if there's a window in my calendar, if there's some open space, if I feel that like stress anxiety feeling coming up, and I can just walk out the door and take a 20-minute walk, that's more valuable to me.
Absolutely. And I mean, that sort of speaks to one of the other points, which is, as our dear friend Ted likes to say, what you can when you can. Right? So if you can go and walk for 10 minutes, take that walk. If you can get out the door, if you can move, even if you don't leave your house, even if you're doing a house walk or a 15-minute house walk or 10 minutes, even 5 minutes, I'm going to say, is better than not moving.
I don't recommend this to anybody, so I probably shouldn't say it. But do you remember shortly after Mason was born, which is now 21 years ago, so there's that, but
Probably not. I probably don't
it's
remember,
probably a big blur.
but go ahead.
But I once I recovered from the surgery that brought him into this world, I used to put him in the baby Bjorn and walk up and down the stairs 10 times.
I have a vague memory of that.
Which, to your point, was only a few minutes. It wasn't easy, even though he was all of a 7-pound peanut, but trying just to get my body moving again.
Well, I remember a few years later when I was training for some of my mountain exploits, I would put him in the backpack and I would do things like walk up and down our driveway with him in the backpack, dragging a tire on a rope behind me. And our driveway was not that long, but I would go back and forth. And I would grit. Joyce is laughing at me hysterically.
Not laughing at you. I'm laughing at us because it suddenly occurs to me that we now sound like we took our baby and turned him into a weight.
We did. Hello?
That doesn't sound
But
so. We love our children. I swear we do.
he loved this. So I'd put him up there, and I used to carry those 5-gallon water jugs from one end of the driveway to the other. And I would turn around and carry them back. And he'd be up there just laughing, usually, sipping on a juice box, munching on a Twizzler, whatever, eating some goldfish. I'd come back from working out and there's goldfish crackers in my hair. And yeah, that was what we could do.
So, finding those windows of opportunity, those moments, and realizing that grocery bags count as weights. If you're carrying two grocery bags in your hands from the car to the house, maybe take another lap up and down your driveway.
Yeah, I think about that all the time because generally I only take two grocery bags with me into the grocery. I do a lot of the grocery shopping for the family, and I don't like to get a ton of stuff. I don't like to overshop it. I know that if I only have two grocery bags, that I sort of have to limit what I put in the cart. But often what happens is I will have two very full grocery bags. And then what I do is I leave the cart right at the exit door of the grocery. And then I have to walk across the parking lot carrying those pretty heavy now grocery bags. I also try to evenly weight them. Like I'll put the regular milk in one and the almond milk in another and then the jar of pasta sauce. And I try to distribute the heavy things equally. And then I'll carry them. And that's a farmer carry.
So you realize that if you unequally weight them, you're going to activate your core a little bit more. You'll get a different workout that's actually pretty good for you if you don't weight them exactly evenly.
Ooh, that's interesting. Yes, I have done that where you've tried to walk with different weighted dumbbells but keep your posture nice and symmetrical.
We are so far afield. We are and we're not, because all of these things are things that you can work into your daily life, just the way you live with more movement. So I want to go back to something that you said and reflect for a moment on the idea of a 5-minute walk or a 10-minute walk. I have three thoughts around this. Thought number one is that we have got to appreciate the cumulative effect of these kinds of things. So if you were to do, let's say you were to do 5 push-ups twice a day against a wall, on your knees, against a bench, whatever permutation of push-up feels right for you, you do it twice a day, just 5. That's 10 a day. That's 70 push-ups a week. And trust me, that counts. So the first is we have got to appreciate the cumulative effect of small things. That's number one. Number two, there is research out there that a 10-minute walk after you eat is incredibly good to help, regulate your blood sugar levels. And that's good for all of us, especially good for people who might wrestle with pre-diabetes kinds of conditions. So that 10-minute walk after lunch, after dinner, incredibly valuable. And the third thing around this idea of appreciating the cumulative effect of small steps is it provides a wonderful opportunity for habit stacking. So if you are someone who loves your morning coffee, like Eric and I, perhaps while that coffee is brewing, you are walking in place, you are marching in place, you are stretching, you are squatting, you are whatever it is, you choose something and that's just what you do while the coffee is brewing. So habit stacking, taking something you do every day or most days as a habit and building some kind of additional movement into it.
Yeah, and I'm just going to backtrack just a little bit because you're talking about the cumulative effect of these little things, right? And we've talked about blue zones, and I'm not going to go into this in too much detail, but blue zones are the half dozen or so areas around the world where more people live to the age of 100 and live to that age well than anywhere else on Earth. And one of the things in these blue zones is they accumulate this movement over time. They walk to do their shopping. They carry their grocery bags home. They do a little bit of gardening. They, you know, clean, they do all these little different activities over the course of the day. They don't exercise, they don't go to the gym, they probably don't even take intentional walks, but they walk to their friend's house, they walk to the market, whatever they need to do, and all this cumulative activity and exercise basically adds up and serves them extremely well.
Yes. There we go. Blue zones.
Yes.
Want to live forever, move more. All right, we're not really going to live forever, but just let me indulge in my fantasy because you know about the aliens.
What about the aliens?
I want to live long enough to meet the aliens.
Or maybe you don't.
Maybe I think I do, though.
Okay.
You think the aliens are going to be scary and mean?
Well, there's always that potential. Or they're going to be wonderful and insightful and just, yes, super exciting.
Glass half empty kind of guy. All right. Next. There are people out there who advocate for this idea of setting a timer. And I think there are kind of two sides to that. If you are someone who has a tendency to plant yourself in a chair in front of your computer, in front of your TV, in front of your whatever it is, and stay there. And I have so many friends and colleagues who can sit in front of their computer for 4 or 5 hours at a time. They get so deeply engrossed in their work that they just power through. And that's cool because that means you're in flow and you're engaged with what you're doing, but that is not good for the body. And long term, it's not good for the brain.
Yep. So getting up and setting a timer, which goes to something we've also spoken about, which is the Pomodoro technique.
We haven't talked about that in ages.
So developed by an Italian researcher, where he found that the people that he studied were the most productive when they worked for a set block of time with short, regular breaks. I believe 50 minutes on, 10 minutes off was the most productive. And they would set a timer. And in that 10 minutes, you get up. Ideally, you walk outside, and you take a break from your work, and then you come back and you do another 50-minute block, and you do that repeatedly over the course of the day. So if you sort of have that flexibility in your schedule, try it. Set a timer every 50 minutes. You take a break and, again, go for a walk, that 10-minute walk, do some push-ups against the counter, do some squats, do some lunges, whatever. But get your blood flowing, get that blood flowing to your brain, and you will, A, be doing good things for your body, and B, be doing good things for your productivity. You won't be wasting that 10 minutes. You'll actually be making the 50 minutes that much more productive. So you know what? You'll be that much more productive that I think you should leave work an hour early even when you do that, or stop working an hour early.
Yes. Set your timer. Take a 10-minute break every hour. Believe that that has so improved your productivity that then you commit to quitting work an hour early.
Sounds good.
I'm going to try this. Can I start working an hour later? I don't actually want to do that.
Whatever works for you, but try that. Try the breaking it up, being regular with that, and getting that regular movement.
I think in order to do that, somehow you have to embrace the feeling that when the timer goes off, it's not an interruption. It's not a negative thing. It's not a, oh, now I have to take a walk. It's got to be like, oh, now I get to, and you got to do something in there that you enjoy. Sometimes we'll walk to the coffee shop for a cup of coffee or a cup of tea. And yeah. I love those little breaks.
Yeah, I could do that once an hour. Go get another cup of coffee.
No, but we typically do it if the weather is decent. We typically do it once a day. Well, probably 3 times a week.
Probably 3 times a week, depending on our schedules, the weather, et cetera, et cetera. But yeah. Yeah. And again, coming back from that. And it's not just the coffee, it's the walking and the fresh air. I find my head is clear. I'm able to jump back in and have a fresh perspective and some fresh energy to go and tackle whatever tasks lay ahead of me.
Next on the list is the buddy system.
Now, are you talking about the two-legged buddy or the four-legged buddy?
Ah. Either the two-legged buddy and the four-legged buddy. So one of the things that we have lost in our new work from home, don't work, retired, home with the kids, whatever permutation of your life is keeping you home more, we have lost that human connection, that incidental kind of human connection, those easy chit-chats. And what that means is that we've got to work harder to create those moments and those opportunities. And again, a little bit around this habit stacking or my willingness to walk with any of my friends who ask, create this community or a buddy with whom you walk and talk, schedule a chat, all those things, but use the opportunity to connect with another person as something that also connects you to movement.
Yeah, ideally one-on-one in person, but you can do it over the phone and have a scheduled phone call where you both go for a walk regularly. Great way to just increase the frequency and consistency of your movement and walking habits.
There's all this research around the fact, and it's sort of depressing, or maybe it's not, I don't know, but there's all this research that basically says we are so much more willing to blow off ourselves than we are to blow off somebody else. So your self-care, your walk, the things that are good for you, chances are pretty good that you are willing to sacrifice that for something else. But if you've got a commitment to someone else, research shows you are far more likely to show up, which is really says something very interesting about us as human beings.
Well, which goes to what I alluded to before, which is having a four-legged walking buddy.
I was just going to say, yep, go on to the four-legged buddy.
You know, if you're willing to sacrifice the walk for your own benefit, great. You may even be willing to sacrifice your dog's walk and not take him for a walk, but there's going to be a little brown consequence on your rug if you do that. So you'll be much less likely to skip your walks when you have a little four-legged walking buddy.
Well, it's not just the downside risk of the fact that your dog needs to do his business outside. It's your dog, generally, most dogs, I'm sure they're not all like this, but most dogs are not going to let you ignore them that way. I can't say the word walk in front of Moose.
Yeah.
Unless I'm prepared to go, because he looks at me and I realize I have this routine before I walk that he totally knows.
Oh yeah. He knows when we're walking out the door to go to the office, and he'll sort of look at us a little forlornly and be like, okay, bye-bye. And then he knows somehow the difference when we're getting ready to go for a walk, because Moose is in the podcast booth with us right now. And he can tell the difference.
How? Sometimes I think he reads my mind, honestly, because sometimes I think I go through exactly the same routine if I'm leaving to go to the office or I'm leaving to go for a walk, and somehow he knows. Do I look at him? What do I do differently?
I read somewhere that dogs see and are attuned to these subtle cues that we don't even realize we do. And they're able to pick up on that.
Sometimes if I don't want him to get crazy, I work really hard not to use the word. And something I guess I do is I look at him. So I don't look at him until the very last minute.
And does that help? Have you noticed
that? Yes,
if you don't
definitely
look at him?
If I really try to change up my leaving for a walk routine and I never look at him,
right,
that definitely helps.
Oh, that's so funny. So one of the other things that I wanted to talk about is if you want to add a little intensity to this, or yeah, just even in a couple minute burst, is to try to find some stairs. I think stairs are really underappreciated. And in our house, we have we're old school on this. Every time I watch one of those HGTV shows where they have this fabulous little laundry room set up on the upstairs floor where the bedrooms are, I'm like, sigh, because our laundry is all the way down in the basement.
When did somebody first realize that it makes so much more sense to put the laundry upstairs? Maybe it's because
1982, Carlton P. Finkelbuster architect.
That's who first thought it up?
Yeah, I think so.
I guess washing machines and dryers, I suppose they've gotten quieter. Maybe that's part of it, but ours are loud too. Anyway, yes, washer dryer in the basement, lots of stairs.
And I'm a pretty fit guy, and I'll go from our basement carrying the laundry to our bedroom. This is, you know, basement, main floor, second floor. And I'll be like, whew. But I feel it in my quads.
But our house is so gigantic.
Yeah.
Not so gigantic.
Not so gigantic.
So adding some stairs to your life, being careful. Stairs are hard on your knees. They're hard on your back. And falling down the stairs, which I almost did the other morning, is definitely not a good thing. So using a ton of care, but using, it goes to sort of using what you've got.
What you can, when you can.
What you can, when you can. What is in your world, in your universe. I want to hit on the last idea.
Okay.
Because this is really good, not just for getting movement into your life, but also into helping to kind of regulate that. And this was your idea, which I think is a great one, which is add a commute.
Yeah. Walk to the office, even when you work at home, like go, okay, putting on my coat and walk around your block. And that's your commute to the office, and have set up a commute home.
We have a perfect 1 mile walk out our front door. It's got two very small, gentle, well, it's got one gentle hill, one more significant hill. It's exactly a mile. And using that road as a commute is brilliant. And I don't do it nearly often enough.
Yeah. And right, it's 15, 20 minutes. It's a great little walk and a great little idea. And then the other thing, and this is off a little bit on a tangent, but when you do your commute home, you can make a stop at the trouble tree.
All right, go ahead. Finish up on the trouble tree.
Yep. So the trouble tree, I read this story, a little, I don't know, parable story about a guy who had a very stressful job, and every day he would come home, and before he would take off his, you know, coat and hat and the, you know, this very 60s imagery, he would stop at the trouble tree, and whatever problems he had at the office, at work, he would take off those first and hang them on the trouble tree, then go into the house, and then in the morning he could pick them back up and go, but he didn't bring those troubles home with him. So that's one another advantage of having a commute that I thought was very, very timely.
And do we have a trouble tree out front? You may need a trouble tree.
I try to do that.
All right. Maybe we should paint like a white circle on our trouble tree.
Yeah, put a little like almost like a coat hook outside for like a trouble hook.
A trouble hook. All right, if we actually do this, we'll take a picture and share it with everybody.
So again, to summarize, what you can, when you can, move, set yourself up, and just keep moving.
Just keep moving.